KOMY.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special. MZ is back in the saddle after 2 weeks away on the other side of this great country of ours, observing many wonderful people doing amazing things. And it's great to be back. So we're going to be on the air doing a special introduction of a new KSCO Talk host for the next 2 hours. Please stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, we finally bagged us a lawyer with a terrific and varied background and a wonderful sense of humor to put on a legal advice and issues program on your favorite radio station. Dean Sutton now has a weekly program, Law of the Land, on KSCO each Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and he just loves to take your calls and answer your legal questions on the air for free. No case too small, no fee too large is Lawyer Dean's slogan. And he is not only one clever attorney, I know, I've used him to do some real estate work for me, and he did a great job. He is a real good teacher and a totally delightful character. We want to give you a jump start at getting to know Lawyer Dean Sutton by featuring him on the next KSCO special. Get your legal questions ready and shoot them at our new resident legal expert this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Forever Your Best Source for Getting Something for Nothing Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Special fanfare? Good. We just love to welcome characters to the radio here. You've been behind. Hey, Dean, how are you?
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. As I descend from the ceiling here for that great fanfare, thank you.
I know. Yeah, people might be
I'm overcome with emotion. I'm sorry. It's just the tears are streaming. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, you've had three programs already on Law of the Land.
Three nights, yes.
Three nights. A Tuesday evening, 7 p.m., the first night you got a whole bunch of phone calls, the first Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And you talked about tree limbs hanging over.
Yeah. It's amazing what people want to talk about. Yes. They love to hate their neighbors. Benjamin Franklin said good fences make good neighbors. And there's nothing like having the neighbor's tree hanging over your property.
And then the next week, you didn't get many phone calls, and you were sort of doing a tap dance by yourself, essentially. Well, there were three or four phone calls, I guess.
But, well, when you're on thin ice, you might as well dance. For a large, fat guy, it was Fred Astaire there, yes. But we had a few good conversations.
Yes, absolutely. But the name of the game here, I guess, is letting people know whether or not they have a case, right?
It's part education, and it's part advocacy, being a lawyer. It says attorney and counselor on the law, at law on the wall. Part of what they do is just inform people, educate them of their legal rights and duties.
Yes.
And
you want to drink a little bit of water here.
There we go. Yes. I went somewhere for breakfast. I'm not sure where. That was a good idea. There we go. Thank you. All right. Hello, folks. Part of it is advocacy. Part of it is seeing if they have a case, if they have some reason to fight, if they have something to sue for, or they have a reason to defend themselves. But most of it is just simple education. Most people want to know their legal rights, their duties, their alternatives. They don't want to be taken advantage of. If people understand that that's the way it is, that's legit, then they calm down. They want to know. It's education is important and valuable, and ignorance can be so much more expensive.
At what point did you decide an attorney you wanted to be?
Well, it was a dark and stormy night. I was pretty young, and I decided I could, I made a little list of things I could do and a list of things I could not do. The things of I could do well was pretty short. I could talk. And the things I could not do was, unfortunately, much longer. And so I decided I'd become an attorney at a very, very young age.
I guess
and
you get paid for talking well in your, when you're in trial, if you're a trial lawyer.
Well, we don't get paid by the word like the English barristers, the solicitors used to. But, yeah. It sounds corny, but I like to fight for things, for people, things that seem right. You know, I do a lot of real estate, which includes foreclosure work. In the we may see it again, but during the 80s and the 90s, there was a lot of foreclosures. And I did a lot of, saving the little old lady, the confused little old lady who's about to lose her house. I like that. I do a good job at it.
I'm pretty interested in real estate law. And in fact, as I was telling you at breakfast today, it was the whole property rights thing, which is very near and dear to my heart. That's what got me into the radio business, really, because in the late 1980s, and I think it was pretty much during 1988, I was part of a group called CPR, Citizens for Planning Reform, and we raised quite a war chest of property owners who were pretty angry at what you have to go through to get a building permit in this county of Santa Cruz and city of Santa Cruz. And so we put together an organization that my father came up with the name for, CPR, for Citizens for Planning Reform, and we did a two-hour weekly talk show on Monday nights. And that program
Did it change anything?
I think it had an effect. I do. I think it had a somewhat of a positive effect. But like so many things that turn out to be a chore, you know, people get tired and they get busy with their lives and they tend to move on. So that program was actually stopped by the then ownership of this radio station because I think it was getting some action and they were getting some pressure from the government here I don't think the station was making money back then, and so the management or the ownership of the station said, look, you know, it's bad enough that the place doesn't make any money, but we don't want any headaches on top of it. So
no political controversy. Do you think the government should regulate land?
Do I think the government should regulate land? I believe there. What?
Hit the button.
I should hit the button? Okay. I just hit the button. Okay.
Thank you.
Lawyer Dean.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat. It's a second mouse I ate. I had a hairball there. I'm sorry. Go ahead. That second mouse for breakfast at that place you took me. Go ahead.
So listen, why did I have to turn off the microphone? It's real. I mean, it's a real, it's a natural thing for someone to have to throw up. Burp. I mean, whatever you did.
Clear my throat, sir. Okay. For personal distress. Some real thing should not be experienced or shared. Go ahead. So you should.
Do I believe that land should not be regulated?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Are you?
I believe, because I'm a believer in property rights, doesn't mean I don't think there should be zoning laws. No, I do think there should be zoning laws. Okay. Do I think that if a property owner conforms to the zoning laws in a particular area, in other words, they want to build a residential dwelling in an area that has been designated for residential dwellings and conform to the 20-foot front and rear yard setbacks and 5-foot side yards.
Why should the government have a general plan to start with? Why is some people down at City Hall decide you have factories on this side of town and houses on that side of town?
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. Why should they? Or are you asking? Or are you,
yeah.
What you?
Well, I mean, you're criticizing, you're complaining about how hard it is to get a building permit. Are you trying to build a factory in the middle of a house?
Housing? No. What I was doing in 1979, I had purchased a lot that had been created 100 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
On the west side of Santa Cruz. And I was treated as if I was seeking to develop all of the open space on the coast between Santa Cruz and San Francisco. And I thought that was pretty ridiculous.
So
for a
developer? Is that what you were? A developer?
If you want to call it that, all I wanted to do was build a house.
Yeah.
No,
if the system is created to have permits, it should be financially possible. It should be quick. It should be fair. It should be the same system for everybody. It shouldn't cost very much to get it, and it should be available, yes.
Okay. Now, what about design review? Because back in 1979, I was told that I had to submit my drawings to a zoning board of five people, most or even all of which could not even read a set of drawings. So they didn't even know what they were looking at.
But they decided whether they thought
and
it was
decided,
pretty or not.
They decided whether I was what materials I was allowed to build my house and what color it was to be painted.
Aesthetically correct.
And so forth. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty bizarre back in 1979.
Well, but a lot of private places have that. You know, if you have condos or you have private...
They buy into it. They buy into that.
That knowing it's in their contract.
Exactly.
In the CCNRs on page 112, they never read, but it's in there. Yeah.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. Okay.
You're talking about just government regulation of aesthetics?
Yeah, I'm talking about the legislation of personal taste. I don't think there is a place for that.
Okay. The short version of it is the police power is what it's called. It's the power of the government to act for public health, education, welfare, and morals. And part of that has always traditionally included the idea of having a nice neighborhood. And what's a nice neighborhood? You know, one without ham radio, antennas in the front yard, and broken down cars on blocks. And those things are aesthetics.
Yeah.
And so, I guess I would think that within reason, and if it's like any government power can be abused. If you're talking about the abuse of it, of course not. Theoretically, is it possible? Yes.
It's a different thing when you're talking about changing the zoning so that a one house per 5 acre density is suddenly being asked to be one house per 1 acre density.
Yeah.
I mean, that definitely changes the character of a neighborhood.
Traffic, water, sewage.
And so I even being a property rights advocate as I am, I believe that there should be public hearings about that. But I don't think that there should be public hearings about you building your single family dwelling that conforms to the setbacks.
Well,
that's absolutely ridiculous.
No, but okay. Well,
do you not agree with me?
You're asking, does the government have that power?
No, I didn't say that. I said, do you agree with me that that's absolutely ridiculous that the government legislates taste?
It seems like that the government can regulate. You tell me. Is a broken down car on blocks on the front, rules, is that taste?
That's not what we're talking about, Dean. That's not what we're talking about at all. I agree with you that it's not taste, and there are subdivisions that have CCNRs, conditions, covenants, and restrictions.
I'm talking about government rules that say you can't have cars parked in the front yard, you can't have RVs parked in the front lawn, you can't have cars up on blocks. Those kind of things I think are legitimate.
You think are legitimate?
Yeah, government rules. Because if you're a property rights person, you also have to worry about property values.
Yeah.
And if you spend all your money on your beautiful home, you don't want to have a bunch of trashy people around you and doing terribly, obscene or ugly or smelly, ugly things.
You know, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that. I guess...
Property rights include property values, see. And some of these basic health and safety rules, they enforce, reinforce,
health,
protect
health
your
rules,
property
yes.
values.
Health rules, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess, I'm talking about treating a person as if they were a criminal when all they want to do is build their damn house that they saved all their life for.
I have no problem with that at all.
Okay.
I mean, I have no problem building a house.
Okay.
That's
the way it used to be around Santa Cruz County. Now, not having been involved in that kind of a thing for a long time, I don't know if that's the case. There was a time when I was foolishly thinking of being a developer of a large parcel of land and doing a subdivision, cutting 160 acres up into 5 acre dense parcels.
Near the beach,
and
near the ocean?
Not really, maybe a mile away. You could see the ocean from it.
Right.
And I never got into that because I knew better. I figured
it's just too expensive.
Much too hard, much too expensive.
The political will through the elected officials are the public policy is against it.
Yeah, and so that was the only time I ever lost money and lost big in real estate in this county.
Right.
Every other time I've invested in real estate in this county, I've done very well, just about as anybody else I know. Just about anybody I know who bought real estate, improved real estate anyhow, in Santa Cruz County is a hero. it's just like...
Looks good, right?
Yeah, done very, very well.
Beats that Enron stock.
Right. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. We're introducing Dean Sutton, who is an attorney, specializes in real estate law, but you are a general attorney, and you do a program called Law of the Land, Tuesday evenings on KSCO AM 1080 between 7 and 8 p.m. On that program, you invite people to call with their legal questions on just about any subject. We're going to do that today, too, here on the Saturday special. We want you to get to know Dean. He's a character. He's a fun guy. He's a bright guy. He's done some real estate work for me that I was very, very pleased with. And now he's our KSCO lawyer on the line here. So if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 is the phone number. If you want a fax, it's 475-2967. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. And let's see what our first caller.
Give us a call.
Pure Heart from Aptos. Hey, Pure Heart, how you doing?
Pretty good, MZ.
Yeah,
hi, Dean.
Good
Welcome
to hear from
to the
you.
Station.
Good morning.
The topic has kind of wandered a bit since I first got on the line, so I'll make a few comments. Number one, I think ham radio was mentioned in passing. I'd like to see ham radio antennas required for every house, if I'm a ham operator. But
okay.
But anyway, I know what you mean.
One man's meat.
At the beginning of the show, you talked about education, of educating people about the law. And over time, I've come to believe, I don't know if it has the force of law, if it's just a saying that ignorance is no excuse when you're in court. Well, I've come to believe that ignorance is an excuse so long as the government makes no attempt to educate the citizenry about the law. Because, thousands of laws are passed every year, and you look in the newspapers, the schools don't cover it. How are you expected to know the law? So if I'm on the jury, ignorance is going to be an excuse. So that's just how I am now, until they change that. And the next comment I think I had was about, as Dean would explain, how things like zoning laws come to pass, descending on the state. You start with the Constitution, the Founding Fathers made, and kind of explain how things like zoning laws kind of came along and what the force of law is behind them that actually... Is it just force of law, or just force of just nobody has challenged it? Lastly, for just as for MZ, to please lift the ban on bends. I missed the ban, and I wish Cliff and Felton would call again too. But anyway,
I wish Cliff and Felton would call too. And
so that's all my comments.
And ban has been banned permanently.
Why? I never caught the reason why, but I wish.
I forgot, but it was just so heinous what he did.
Oh, don't
that we
opinion.
Just.
If he didn't use bad language, I don't see if it could possibly be a bad enough opinion.
Let's see. I think he got us tagged with the term hate radio.
Anyway.
We don't want to be hate radio here on KSCO. We want to be love radio, hate radio.
If you ban people, that's hateful. I'm so offended. Anyway.
Well, you're right. And you put your money where your mouth is. We know that you are a major contributor to KSCO, for which we thank you.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah, so we're certainly going to rethink our position
on the banning
of ban in Salinas.
So anyway, okay, well, thank you. But anyway, just a thumbnail sketch of how the Constitution led to local zoning laws would be kind of cool.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, quickly. Ignorance of the law. Ignorance of the law is a phrase. It's not really a legal maxim or a legal rule. But you mentioned if you were a jury, you would consider that if you were on a jury. There's a notion called jury nullification, which is sometimes one of the great protections of the people from the government is the jury. And one of the reasons for that is that the government can pass rules and regulations and send down commandments from on high. But if the people on a jury decide that there's some legitimate reason why this person should not be prosecuted and convicted for this crime, for example, they can just simply tell the government no. And that would be the notion of jury nullification. Now, you're just talking about ignorance of the law. Yeah, it's virtually impossible for anybody, me or anybody else, to stay up on all this stuff all the time. It's just incredible. It's just a blizzard of codified laws from all the different levels, from case-made law from all the different levels of courts, from administrative laws and regulations, local, state, and federal, for anyone to know all this stuff. That's why we have to go research, and that's why it's a legitimate function of the lawyer to go look it up. Search, research means again. Search means go look for it again and see what the law is this week. It's an incredible blizzard of things, and it's very hard to know it all and try to keep up on it. Zoning is from there's a famous case, U.S. Supreme Court, I think about 1927, called Euclid, Ohio, had this bright idea. They got tired of having factories and houses right next to each other and all the smoke and soot and hurting the kids and all that. So somebody got the bright idea, said from now on, let's take a map and let's make a zone. Let's have industrial over here on the right, and let's have residential over here on the left, and commercial down here at the bottom. We'll make
zones. That's okay. What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. And the Supreme Court upheld that and said that's fine. Today it's still given the nickname Euclidean zoning after that case.
That's part of police power.
That's part of the police power. Okay. And where does that come from? Well, it comes from the inherent power of the government to act for the public health, education, welfare, safety, and morals. And it's called generically the police power, from the old Greek word for city-state, a polis, a city, a power to act for the public good. How does that get used? Well, in the modern world, it comes down in cities and counties are authorized to make a general plan. We're going to have this kind of use here and that kind of use there, mixed use over here. And it is carried out by the specific rules and regulations of zoning. Each zone gets specific little rules. It's constitutional if it is a reasonable restriction on use. Where the rub comes is the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and the similar provisions in the state constitution. It says that the government cannot take personal property for what it says is if they take it for public use, they have to pay just compensation. Now, the problem is that the government guys read that to read just some compensation. They give you some money for your property. And as you may know, this is hot. You hit a button here because Prop 90 is on the ballot. And if you haven't looked at it, look at it. One of the things that's on the ballot right now is whether or not the state of California, the people will change that to say that the state cannot take private property to give to another private property owner. And also whether or not regulation of zoning land use such as...
So that would overturn a recent...
Yeah.
A federal Supreme Court. How can you do that? How can you overturn something that's already been granted by the federal Supreme Court?
Federalism, state constitution. It's possible to have greater or higher rights in the state of California than is awarded under the federal constitution. That case was 5-4. Recent U.S. Supreme Court decision. The short version of it was a developer wanted to put in a huge commercial development. The city approved it, thought it would be wonderful. Police power, more jobs, more income, more sales tax. Everything's great. One little guy won't sell. One little guy won't sell is offered money, will not sell. The city, it uses eminent domain, the power to take that property, pay him just compensation, meaning just justice, meaning fair, not just some compensation, but fair compensation. And then they turn around and sell that to the private developer so they can build their property. That's always been the law. That's no big deal. There have been recent, similar cases like that for the Empire State Building in New York, for the Transamerica Building in San Francisco. That's traditionally been the law, been the rule. A lot of people saw that and realized how that could be abused again by local government and kind of went out sideways. The idea that the city could take your private property to give to another private guy so that he could develop it when you did not want to.
Not right, not right, not right.
Prop 90 will fix that. If you think it's wrong, it'll fix it. If you think it's great, it'll break it. But Prop 90, one of the things it'll do is to eliminate the power of a city or a county to take private property to give to another private person. It has to be for a, quote, public use. What has traditionally been considered a public use, a street, they can give it to PG&E, for utility lines. That's a public use.
Well, I have learned something new, Dean, because I didn't think that there was anything that took precedence over the Supreme Court of the land. Not the state Supreme Court.
Wait a minute.
Federal.
Okay. The Supreme Court has many functions. It wears many hats. One of the things it can do is to declare what the United States Constitution requires. Another thing it can do is decide what states can do. All right, back up 10 seconds. The original Constitution was written. It gave the federal government power. The people wouldn't buy it. They said, we're not going to vote for it unless we get protections from the federal government, the first 10 Bill of Rights. Then you fast forward, there's a little thing called the Civil War that intervened. And after that, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed. The 14th Amendment protects you, each individual now, from your state government. It says, no state shall deny person equal protection of the laws, due process of laws, privileges and immunities. So now you have a way to ask a federal court if what the state is doing is wrong, violates the federal constitution. And if they say that the federal constitution requires something, then that's pretty much it. That's the ace in the deck, unless you change the constitution, like abortion rights, for example, that law. But if the constitution is interpreting a federal statute, is interpreting a government action, then they can say the federal government, the court says that the federal constitution does not prohibit this. A state can do this. A state can take
So that's basically what they did in the federal.
But in California, each state.
What was the name of that case?
I don't have it in front of me, but I can find it very fast. I don't have it in front of me.
Someone will call with it, I'm sure. 479-1080. I should know it too, but I don't.
The important thing is that under the federal system, states can be different within the limits of the federal constitution. Gambling, for example, is legal in Nevada. Prostitution is legal in many counties in Nevada. That would be many things that are felonies in one state or a big industry in another. And the state constitution in California, we can decide, for example, that by our constitution, we could say in California, the government cannot take private property for a private use. Also, it does have the other thing it does, as you were complaining about, is government regulation. If Prop 90 were passed, it would make it easier to sue the city or the county to say that the government regulation, the aesthetic zonings, the requirements, the design requirements, actually take my property under the Fifth Amendment,
ooh,
and I can get more money and damage. It's easier to sue for that.
I want to vote for this issue for sure.
Well, I spoke about it one night. I'm sure you heard me talk about it one night, but it's one of the things we talked about. But yes, it is Prop 90. It's a very interesting idea.
Right. You're listening to Dean Sutton along with MZ on the KSCO-KOMY Saturday special. If you got a legal question, give us a call at 479-1080 or get on the air with us. Here is Margaret where are you, Margaret?
Santa Cruz.
Hi, Margaret in Santa Cruz. What you got for us today?
Okay. Well, I am wondering what your guest there thinks about judges who accept personal dinner invites in attorneys' homes, and then, you know, where the attorney is bringing out all the good wine and laying on the Ritz and showing off the wife and the kids, and then the judge hears the cases from that attorney, you know, in the following weeks and months. I think that's a very big conflict of interest.
Why?
Why?
Why? Judges don't eat?
Yeah, but they're dining. How would you, I mean, if my attorney
is this a case before the judge? I mean, is this a hot
this
case?
This is just the way the judges behave, okay?
Yeah.
And they're going out, you know, getting wined and dined.
I get
big
it.
Big time by these attorneys. And if your attorney isn't whining and dining the judges, but these other attorneys are getting accepted dinner dates from the judges.
I get it.
That's a huge conflict of interest.
Why is that a conflict of interest? I just want to
because they're sitting there in the cases in front of these judges, and the judges remember that $1,500 bottle of wine that we shared with him.
If it was really good, he probably doesn't remember it very well at all.
True.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
no. This is serious.
Gene 40 is nailing from attorneybusters.com.
I remember him.
Yeah, he is nailing judges and attorneys left and right down there in Monterey. And I think now with these elections of these new judges coming up, and I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could like.
Okay, you want to ask me or you want to tell me? Can I respond here in here somewhere?
Sure, and then
all
I
right.
want to comment.
The irony of this whole situation is that judges have a duty to remain independent. They have a duty to remain fair. They have the duty to abstain from the very appearance of evil, from the very appearance of impropriety. And there are very strict rules if there's a case, for example, an ongoing matter before a judge, not to communicate unilaterally with the judge. In other words, not to talk to the judge socially or otherwise without the other lawyer being present. Those are very strict. Let me finish. However, judges, believe it or not, eat, drink, and make merry as well. I've never had a judge entertained in my home, so don't launch. But you must understand, one of the ways that lawyers and judges traditionally communicate and train each other is by having dinner together. In the British system, where we get our law, there are what's called the Inns of Court. It's what we might consider, advanced law school classes. They are required to have dinner together. The judges and the lawyers meet in these chambers, these big halls, And they drink and they eat and they talk and they communicate.
Who pays?
Yeah, who pays?
Well,
yeah.
I'm sure it's the government system. Yeah. It's the court system. I mean, they the ends of court.
The taxpayers.
In fact, Lincoln well, is one of the great names. Abraham Lincoln's family came from. It's one of the great ends of court in London. Lawyer, judge. There's strangely enough, I've known people who became judges, and it's a very lonely thing. All of a sudden, you used to be able to have friends, you know, go out and have drink, have dinner, go have Chinese food with your friends, the other lawyers, you know, insult each other, talk to each other, you know, learn new things from each other. And all of a sudden, you're a judge. Boom. I mean, people, they turn away from you like you have, you know, an incredible communicable disease.
It is against the law for me to give my insurance agent a Christmas present. It's against the law. He could lose
to give
license.
Your insurance agent a Christmas present? Okay,
yes.
I'm not aware of that.
He cannot accept gifts from his clients. So how in the world can a dang judge accept dinner dates all over town from other attorneys?
Margaret.
What?
I don't know that I can challenge you from what you just said. But how do you know that that's true, that what you said is true about an insurance agent? How do you know?
Oh, how do I know about the insurance agent?
Yeah.
Oh, just ask your insurance agent. He'll tell you the same thing. It's in the insurance law.
And what happens if they're caught accepting a gift? Is it the death penalty?
They can get their license revoked.
Well, I know a lot of businesses have policies. Journalists, for example, TV reporters and newspaper reporters, they don't want to, you know, at Christmas time, you can give small, you know, little gifts of recognition. But
look, anybody who wants to give me a gift at any time and probably get some favorable comments said about them on KSCO or KOMY is welcome to do that. In fact, I would encourage anybody to say or do nice things. I'm totally honest with people.
Well, to sum up, obviously judges should not be in a position where they're being bribed, they're being influenced, they're being communicated with unfairly or improperly. I have no question about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't it be nice if we could hire a PI to follow these judges around?
What do you want a judge to be? I mean, if you just want an automatic, you could get a computer software that you could plug in facts and get your answer if you want. I mean, they are people. They are supposed to be people of the people. They get rained on because they don't know what people are thinking. They get accused of not knowing what people are doing. They should be out and about. They should be listening to people. They should be getting an earful of what people think. I mean, it's kind of a catch 22.
An attorney.
Well, attorneys not people. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you expect? I mean, seriously. I mean, they're not monks. They don't enter a monastery. They should not. I mean, if a case is pending in front of them, they should not be communicated with unilaterally. Period. They shouldn't. Whether it's in the hallway of the courthouse or in a restaurant. Period. And I've met judges a lot of times socially, just politely say hello, how are you, good day, you know, and then get out of there, get out of Dodge, get away from
it. Don't judges regularly recuse themselves around here?
Yeah, but they don't refuse to hear cases from attorneys who've been whining and dining them and showing off the wife and kids and pulling out the $2,000 bottles of wine for dinner.
That is a little different. Yeah, that is.
Come on. That's just, like, totally ethically wrong.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Margaret, we want to thank you for calling the Saturday special today. That was Margaret in Santa Cruz. Yes, it was. At 10:39 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. I think we're on KOMY AM 1340 also today. What's going to happen come Monday when Air America goes? What are we going to be doing with KOMY? Do you have any idea, Dean?
I have no idea. You tell me.
It's a secret. I don't even know myself. Well, anyhow, tune in and find out. Tune in at 9 a.m. when Al Franken would have been on and see what... I don't know what's going to happen. What should happen? Yeah, we got a whole new radio station to reprogram. Should we program it for the liberals? Or should we, you know, we can program it to liberals without running Air America. We could just do some other liberal programming. All right. Let's see, 40 minutes past 10, 20 minutes before 11, and coming up right after the top of the hour news is going to be the latest and greatest K's commentary. If you want to call us and talk law, have a particular question, For Lawyer Dean, 479-1080 or email mz@ksco.com or fax 475-2967. Cereal, haven't seen a cereal fax or a cartoon in a while. Would certainly welcome that to 475-2967. And, yeah, let's go to Dave Allen on line 7. Dave, you're on.
Let me turn this radio down.
What?
Had to turn the radio down.
Okay, good.
So, Michael, why don't you simulcast again till some better pops up?
Okay, maybe we'll do that.
By the way, I
can't help but think that we should be doing something really, really smart, you know, on Monday and just sort of seizing the opportunity to...
Well, I'm still playing.
Before the Al Franken audience, which I don't know how extensive it is, goes away.
Well, I started listening to Al Franken for a while, wasn't very interesting. It just frankly wasn't very interesting at all.
Yeah, Frankenly was not very interesting.
To be quite frank, yeah.
Yeah, and so, in fact, he's really boring. He's sort of like Jerry Brown, not very good on the radio.
Yeah, his pauses.
Very good in front of a group. Mm-hmm. Very good in front of an audience, because I've seen him.
He can be very funny. The pauses can be, the old Jack Benny routine is very funny in person, but on radio, that gap is not too good.
Yeah. So anyhow, Dave.
So this Attorney Sutton, right?
Yes. You call, we haul, that's all. Vocas portabimus erit omni. That's Latin for you call, we haul, that's all.
Where do you find this guy?
I don't know. Just sort of.
It was a dark.
He's great. He's old school.
It was a dark and stormy night. And an ill will blew from the wind.
It's hard to find attorneys around that know about the original laws. They actually know the damn Constitution a little bit.
It's an amazing bestseller. Nobody ever reads. It's kind of like the Bible.
I got a good question, the attorney here. What's your opinion on President Porch Monkey's decision last month to suspend habeas corpus?
Say it again one more time.
Why do you call President Bush President Porch Monkey, Dave?
Look at him.
That's not a respectful way to talk about our president.
So, freedom of speech.
President Porch. You know what this man used? He used to have a great show on KSCO. He's the most popular local radio personality that ever lived in the Monterey Bay Area.
Really?
Dave Allen, the Nighthawk.
Okay.
He got sick a few years ago, and he's coming back slowly here. But,
all right.
He just called President Bush President Porch Monkey. He used to call Hillary the first lesbian, and he used to call Clinton President Scrotum.
And labia liberal.
Jesus.
Okay. Well, I think the question in there somewhere was habeas corpus. Was that your question?
Yeah, last one.
Are you talking about President Lincoln or are you talking about President Bush? Go ahead.
No. Last month, President Bush suspended habeas corpus. Do you know that?
Well, you're talking about the guys who were arrested who are overseas or down in Cuba, Guantanamo?
Yeah, I have the audio tape somewhere of President Bush talking right before the mics were turned on. He goes, "Oh, hell. Be a lot easier if I were a dictator now, wouldn't it?" That's where his brain is at. President Porch Monkey.
Okay. Habeas corpus for those out
porch
there who are listening
are not,
to this.
Porch monkeys are not dictators. They're just the opposite, Dave. I think you should come up with another.
No,
you
he's
know.
A mouthpiece for the powers that be.
Okay. Habeas corpus. I mean, it's Latin for you have the body. It's called the Great Writ. And theoretically, historically, in the British and American system, if you're being detained and held by the government, you always have the right to bring a paper in court to ask that the judge order that you be brought into court and that the government be brought into court to show why you're being held, period.
Right. In other words, why am I here? Why are you bothering? Where's your proof?
Well, that's, yeah, why, yes, you have the body, bring it here to show why he's being held and should be held, yes.
The last candidate that suspended that was Abraham Lincoln because we were under martial law.
And the Civil War, that's right.
That's right. So where does Bush get off now? It's amazing.
Well, I don't agree with it. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's required. There's a lot of problems with the way, a lot of these civil liberties have been just thrown out the window.
It's something, merely something.
Because of the war on terror.
Do you think the Republicans are going to maintain their majority in the House and Senate, Dean?
We're a little far from law, but I'll be happy to talk politics. Will they maintain the all the talking heads, all the great talking heads are saying that the House may change, but the Senate probably won't.
Uh-huh. I don't think either one will. What do you think?
Okay, I just told you. I said, well, what do I think?
No, what do you think?
I think the House will probably change or be very close, yeah. There's some districts in Ohio and Maryland that could go either way. And if they go Democratic, it could go Democratic House. Probably stay a Republican Senate.
It's all starting to fall apart on them.
Yeah, okay. So
there's a thing called karma. It pendulum swings both ways. You know, some of the brazenly opulent, heinous infliction that have been done under the Constitution the last three or four years, I never thought I would live this long.
The basic premise of our government is supposed to be divided government. It's supposed to be separation of powers. Whenever you get any group, whether it's Democrats or Republicans or, you know, Green or whatever, when you get any one group in control, the Republicans have been in control of the presidency virtually in my lifetime, you know, a huge majority of the time. They've had control of one or both of the houses of Congress a tremendous amount of the time. And obviously they've had control of the Supreme Court and the court system for a great deal of the time. And anytime, you know, some people will say, well, the Democrats did during, you know, Kennedy or Johnson, for example, the liberal years. First of all, a lot of the liberal policies, you know, actually came from Republicans. Some of the great liberal policies that people complain about today actually may have come from the Earl Warren court. Earl Warren, by the way, folks, was a conservative Republican Californian.
That's right, governor.
District attorney general.
And governor.
And was the only scandal-free three-term governor that I know of in the state of California's history.
Yeah.
And, you know, went to the Supreme Court. And, you know, a lot of the policies came from what people think back now and call the progressive era, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, one of my great heroes, my favorite president is Teddy Roosevelt. And
but you weren't even alive.
Well, that's all right. I didn't need to be alive.
I agree with you, man. Roosevelt and Lincoln, two of my favorite presidents.
Yeah. And a lot of these policies that people complain about, whenever you get one party in control for too long, things start to rot. Things start to decay. Things start to power corrupts. And you know, whether it was the Democrats that were had the House bank and their own scandals for so long and needed to be thrown out, you know, a lot of people say it's time to flush it out, start again.
One more thing before I blast off. By the way, Michael and attorney, your son, do you know that there's another brother Bush named Marvin Bush?
Attorney Dean is nodding his head. That means yes.
Do you know that his cousin, which is the Walkers, which is Barbara Bush, President Bush's mother's side of the family, him and his cousin, the Walker, owned a security company. And their security company is the one that had the contract for all the security of trade towers.
What's your point? So what's the point?
Isn't that interesting? The way nobody... for 3 days before the towers came down...
So what's your point? Are you suggesting that somebody... it was an inside job that somehow the Walkers and the Bushes, knocked down the World Trade Center?
Pretty convenient, that's all. Just very simple to go, wow, nobody heard that before.
Pretty serious charge.
No, yeah. Dave.
Anyway... listen.
Of course you're kidding, Dave. You're just you just want to get the phones ringing, right?
Well, whatever. But okay. Anyways, I like this guy. Now, what day is he on again for everybody here?
Tuesday nights, 7 p.m.
Law of the Land with Lawyer Dean Sutton. Tuesday night, 7 to 8 on KSCO.
There you go.
Okay.
Well,
thanks, Dave.
See you later, buddy.
See you, bye. Here comes Olive in Santa Cruz. Hi, Olive.
Well, thank you, Michael. God bless you. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, you too. And you want to talk about neighbors and aminals.
Fantastic, especially in Santa Cruz County when you can't build on it, so you put cattle on here, and then what happens? You plant a pasture?
Then they say you can't do that either.
Don't cause E. coli. Well, don't spread E. coli.
They get neighbors in that encroach and do not have a pasture, and they don't want to spend $15 for a bale of hay, so they cut the fence and put them in on my pasture, so I sent them a bill. Oh, you can't do that because you know what, this lady, everybody hates this lady. I have letters here showing everybody hates her. The rule was, the judge ruled in the neighbor's favor that was stealing my pasture and trespassing into my land.
Did you go to small claims court? Or?
Yes, that's where, and we had a pro tem judge.
Uh-huh.
And I said, how could he rule this way? How could he rule this way? So I wrote a little note and want to know, how did he determine his findings? And I gave it to the clerk of the court, hoping that they would give it to him to let him find out. Well, this is not fair. This is a trespass. It's theft. It's a lot.
Well, what evidence did he have in front of him? What did he hear? What was said before he decided?
Just what I told you.
That she opened up the fence and put her cows into your pasture?
Yes.
With or without consent or permission?
Oh, we were invited.
That's what she said?
Yes.
What did you say?
I said, here are the photos and here are the statistics. There's no way that would happen. And so the judge says to this woman, well, how did you get your horses in there? How did they get into this lady's pasture? She says, well, I thought about it for 3 months and I took them in there. And when she was told to take them out, I got a phone message on my, in writing, I got a phone message on my machine saying that, oh, well, they couldn't take them out right away. It's going to be a while.
So you sued her for damages, for
yes.
money. And how much did you ask for?
I was only asking $500.
And did you have any damages other than just the nominal use of your
property?
Oh, yes,
I had fencing and a number of other things, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to say. It's hard to comment.
I was only asking for the $500 to get it settled. They said, if you'd like to go and talk about this through the Golden Curtain and see if you can get it straightened out, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
We talked about small claims court on Tuesday, but the short version of it is if a plaintiff chooses small claims court, the limit, by the way, now is $7,500 for a natural person, yeah. But if you don't win in small claims court, the plaintiff cannot appeal. That's one of the counter veiling ideas about small claims court. If you're a defendant and get sued and you lose, you can appeal and have a real brand new judge, new trial de novo. I don't know what to say except based on what he had in front of him, he must have thought that there was with consent or you
no,
let it happen.
I think what happened, he was trying to tell him that, oh, this is a fire hazard. And I told him, you know, these people were coming here using my 16-acre ranch as a play game in and out of here.
Is it a continuing problem? Is it still happening?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what to say on the radio here. It's kind of hard to second-guess something that's already been decided. If you want to make an appointment, Sutton Law Firm, suttonlawfirm.com. Mm-hmm. The phone number is 831-476-7499. 831-476-7499. You can call for an appointment. My general policy is no charge first half hour. It gives me a chance to look at your problem, see if I can help you with it.
Oh,
make
I
sure I don't have a conflict of interest. Make sure I haven't had dinner with the judge or anything like that.
I'm an 80-year-old senior citizen, and I have just certainly been treated badly for an old lady who needs that. I'm lucky to be.
Nobody should treat an old lady like they should treat a young person. Nobody.
And right. Good fences make good neighbors. Get your fence fixed.
No, it's my fencing, and there's nothing wrong with the fencing. If
All right.
Cut it and come through, there isn't
well,
anything you can
that's
do.
Not right.
Olive Caldeen, okay?
Thank you very much.
Take care. That was Olive in Santa Cruz. We're going to take a commercial break here. In the last 7 minutes of this hour, but I don't think we have 7 minutes of commercial. So stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, California, world on KSCO.com. There's a lot more ahead on the KSCO Saturday special.
And for the win.
Okay, let's see. A popular vacation destination in southern Italy, Quilici.
Oh, sorry. Contestant number two, it's up to you.
Oh, absolutely.
A common name for the endangered East African weaver bird, Quilici. No, contestant number three?
Quilici. Why, of course. The name for gardening and landscape services in Santa Cruz County.
Hi, I'm Randy Quilici, owner of Quilici Gardening and Landscaping. It's true, Quilici may be a little hard to pronounce, but it's been a trusted name in the landscape industry since 1982. Call me at 425-5269. I'd love to personally show you some beautiful gardens and landscapes we've created and maintained, and just what we can do for you.
And remember, it's Quilici, the name to know for gardening and landscaping services in Santa Cruz County. 425-5269 or at QuiliciGardening.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. If fear is preventing you from seeing the dentist, listen to how we've helped others with sedation dentistry.
I'm Pat. Well, we had a consultation. He went over all my x-rays. Frankly, I was skeptical that he could get me numb or the treatments would be painless. And he prescribed a course of treatment and went into the office. And 5 hours later, I was out smiling and felt absolutely nothing. I would highly recommend Dr. Peabody to anybody that has any apprehension about a dentist. He's the man, and I'm a true believer. And the staff is fantastic.
We've helped hundreds of people wake up to a beautiful smile. Let us help you, too.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 457-0343. That's 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's Sedation Dentistry on the web at drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages. You too can wake up to a beautiful smile.
Investors, are you tired of your stocks not performing? Would you like to get into the largest market in the world with a daily volume of over $2 trillion? The market that major banks and corporations have been in for decades? The foreign currency market, also known as Forex. Now you can. Call 866-WC-FOREX. At Welland Capital, they manage and trade the U.S. currency with the euro, yen, and British pound. The Forex market is fast and furious. The place for your diversification capital. Call 866-923-6739. Find out what the situation with the U.S. dollar can mean to you financially. Get started today and get a free Forex educational CD and informational package. Call 866-WC-FOREX at Welland Capital. That's 866-923-6739. Remember this phone number, 866-923-6739. The Forex market involves a high degree of risk. Please consult your financial advisor prior to investing.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Welcome back. Oh, geez. There's no bumper music. I forgot that there was no bumper music. Do you have some bumper music, Dean? Here, I'll put it up here so that we can... You have some nice bumper music? You have to wait. Wait. Oh, okay. What'd you say?
It's Law of the Land with Lawyer Dean Sutton on KSCO 1080 AM.
Well, it's really the Saturday special, but that's what that's sort of a what we call a tease on the radio biz. Okay, let's see. There's 3 minutes to go in hour number one. Let's hear from BGG, a.k.a. Big Gun Gordy. Hi, Big Gun.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Olive ought to consider eating some more steak.
Who should?
Olive.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
I mean, there is such thing as a free dinner.
I never thought of that.
Judges, on our ballot, we've got a lot of judges here. Nobody knows anything about them. There's a problem here. We've had some judges appointed. A lot of them are political appointments, if not all of them. And getting on the bench, and they're not really qualified. They make some really terrible decisions. The public has to suffer during their education and, process. In getting, some just decisions made by them. I'd like to get a comment on what we, the public, can do about getting judges that do represent the interest of the public on the bench.
Okay, well, first of all, apparently they cannot have any lunches or dinners with anybody else, any place else. That's the first thing, apparently, that they get criticized for. Okay, judges. California uses a modified system, which some states it's pure, crass, bare-knuckled, just rank politics. Some places there's Democrats and Republicans. They run for judges and they get elected. It's pure politics, pure money, pure politics. In California, it is not. We use a modified system. Once a judge is in place, they're in place for 6 years, and then they go unopposed on the ballot, which is the idea. The question is, shall Judge Bozo be retained? Shall the Honorable Judge Bozo be retained? Shall Honorable Judge, Smith be retained?
I like Judge Bozo better than Judge Smith.
No doubt. Okay. Yeah. And the question is, shall he be or she be retained for another term of 6 years, unopposed? If you get somebody that you really don't like, that really causes a stink, that the public really reacts to, they can be removed. You might remember the Rose Byrd experience of many years ago when three judges of the state Supreme Court were taken off, among other things, because of the perception that they were against the death penalty, and appropriately so.
You mean they were appropriately against the death penalty, or they were appropriately removed?
They were appropriately removed because the perception was they were against the death penalty.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to start pinning me down, you're going to take all the fun out of this.
Okay,
thing,
okay.
All right. So we use that system. Now, to get on the bench, if there's it's what's called an open seat or an empty seat.
Before you get on a roll, yeah. Dave, is the clock synchronized? Is it 10:59 and 45, 46, 47? Is that right?
Okay.
So we're good. Okay, so we got like 10 seconds.
All right. Judges are appointed if there's an empty seat. If it's an empty seat, they can run. People can run for it. Otherwise, the governor appoints.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Great strides being made on a fire consuming 40,000 acres of land in Southern California. The fire's more than 2 days old, but was growing at a rapid pace. But today...
It is now 40% contained. That's a huge figure, considering just yesterday, it was 5%.
Fox's William Lajeunesse in Banning tells us why that's happening.
The winds have died down considerably. Also, they have a lot of resources here. 2,700 firefighters, 25 tankers, 25 bulldozers.
Even some evacuated homeowners are being allowed to return and check for damage on their property. The fire is believed to be arson, and a $500,000 reward is out for information on one, possibly two suspects. High energy in Indiana. An emphatic crowd greeting Republican Congressman Mike Sodrill, who's up for re-election. President Bush is there, stumping for the candidates.
The stakes are high in this election. Your vote will have an impact, not only on your lives here, but an impact that will help determine the course of this nation.
Before that, President Bush pounded Democrats in his weekly radio address, warning Americans about electing Democrats and putting tax cuts in jeopardy. But the Democratic response had everything to do with Iraq, with Virginia Senate candidate Jim Webb calling the commander-in-chief incompetent.
This is not simply an election year talking point or a position arrived at a week before voters go to the polls. I have held these views deeply for years.
More than 90 American soldiers have died in Iraq this month, the highest total this year, in a year. Word out of Jamaica about former heavyweight champ Trevor Burbick, who was found dead. No word on how he died yet, but he was the last to fight Muhammad Ali and also lost the WBC title in 1986 to Mike Tyson. Whether you're about to go out on the town or staying at home and sleeping in, remember to turn the clock back by 1 hour. Daylight saving is ending at 2 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The jury is in, and it's time for my ruling in the matter of LegalZoom.com making it easy and affordable for consumers to create common legal documents like a last will and testament, forming an LLC, registering a trademark, and more. Guilty. I'm Andrew Napolitano, the judge. By now, I know the facts, and the fact is LegalZoom.com is my choice for common legal documents. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom takes care of the rest. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know the documents are reliable and of the highest quality. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% off the cost of going to an attorney. So go to LegalZoom.com today and find out how easy forming an LLC, creating a living trust, or even registering a trademark can be. Receive a special discount off any service by typing in the judge, all one word, in the referral box at checkout. Protect yourself, your family, and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com today. That's LegalZoom.com.
Did you ever think lasers would be used in real life the way they're used in movies? Work is being done to turn that science fiction concept into a defense tool.
The latest development in a missile defense system, once ridiculed as a Star Wars fantasy, involves putting a high-energy laser designed to detect, track, and destroy ballistic missiles on board a modified Boeing 747.
Fox's Rudy Bakhtiar, New York. Testing should begin in 2008 with full-fledged operational use by the end of the decade. A new film about President Bush, interesting to some, disturbing to others. We're getting the first reactions to the movie that looks at the possibility of the president's assassination.
A little bit tasteless. That's among the mixed reviews from filmgoers polled as they left a New York theater that's showing a movie depicting the fictional assassination of President George W. Bush. Death of a President, originally broadcast by a British TV channel. It uses digital manipulation of real footage in a documentary-style story of the president, the real president, being gunned down after a speech. Another critical filmgoer said of the flick, what, they couldn't portray a fictional commander-in-chief? Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
People are getting their first look at a new image of George Washington at his Mount Vernon estate. An image of him as a teenager, seen already by Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz.
I'm standing toe-to-toe with a George Washington many of us never think of. A full-size wax model of George Washington is a 19-year-old man. It's just one of several life-size Washingtons created for the new $60 million $1 million visitor center.
The 19-year-old George Washington is perhaps the most startling because it's the first time we're seeing a human-like form of Washington in his youth.
Mount Vernon's Stephanie Pace Brown says they came up with the image by scanning actual masks of Washington's face, portraits, and even his dentures, which were all combined using modern forensics.
The new visitor center just opened this weekend. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, October 28, 2006. It looks like today you can expect lots of sun with highs around 80 degrees and winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight will be generally clear with lows around 45 degrees and winds light and variable. Tomorrow, sunny conditions, highs around 70 degrees, actually. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows around 45 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming northwest in the afternoon, with wind waves up to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 13 seconds, and south 2 feet at 14 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 68 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host MZ right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
This just in, you can keep the music up. Keep the billing statement from Serial Factor has just come in. I'll tell you about that in a minute here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
It's not a cartoon, but it's a billing statement. Two M Swirling KSCO from C Faxer / 20th Century Fax. Billing amount $160, four at $40 each. Dear sir, every time you allow Margaret from Santa Cruz on your station, I must steam clean and disinfect my radio. This is the fourth time at $40 per cleaning this has been needed. This woman makes Mildred from Aptos sound like Mother Teresa. Two, is it true that someone sent you an envelope with Harold from Aptos in it? Question four. This is definitely one of the funnier serial faxers. Items from serial that came in the fax. If you would like to send us something to crack us up, you know, that's the only thing that has, actually. Dave said something that was sort of funny when he said President, what did he say? President Porch Monkey.
Porch Monkey, yeah.
He said something really funny. Listen, it's been much too serious on this radio station for much too long. I want more and more humor. I want more ticklish things. That just make me crack up. Do you have anything for me, Dean?
Just remember this. Never bounce a check on your exorcist because you could get repossessed.
That's sort of clever, but I mean, it just doesn't tickle me. I mean, this is not...
Well, I'm not going to tickle you, MZ, yeah, so keep talking.
Well, I mean, you know, I once asked Dr. Wallach if he thought that attempted suicide should be a capital crime punishable by the death penalty. What do you think about that?
The common law, that absolutely was. Absolutely was.
So, but even that wasn't too funny. We have lines open.
True. That's what makes it funny.
479-1080. A lot of lines open at 47. Now, we got Asa in Live Oak and Nick in Santa Cruz. How would you like me to announce you as an upcoming caller? Doesn't cost anything. Just a little exercise on your part to dial the phone. You can ask a question or make a comment. We're talking law with our new KSCO lawyer on the line here on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. The program is called Law of the Land, and the gentleman who hosts that program is named Dean Sutton. He's here with me, in the studio here at your favorite radio station, and we're giving you a taste of a law in the land, sort of a teaser, as we say in the radio business. But before we go back to the phone lines, we're going to play the latest K's commentary. Da-da-da-da! Take it away.
Following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
NBA or NFL. 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71, repeat, 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. Can you guess which organization this is? Give up yet? Neither. It's the 535 members of the United States Congress, the same group that crank out hundreds of new laws each year designed to keep the rest of us in line. You gotta pass this one on. And now, how about some more interesting trivia? By raising your legs slowly and lying on your back, you can't sink in quicksand. The phrase rule of thumb is derived from an old English law which stated that you couldn't beat your wife with anything wider than your thumb. The first product Motorola started to develop was a record player for automobiles. At that time, the most known player on the market was a Victrola, so they called themselves Motorola. Celery has negative calories. It takes more calories to eat a piece of celery than the celery has in it to begin with. It's the same with apples. Chewing gum while peeling onions will keep you from crying. The glue on Israeli post stamps is certified kosher. The Guinness Book of Records holds the record for being the book most often stolen from public libraries. Astronauts are not allowed to eat beans before they go into space because passing wind in a space suit damages it. George Carlin said it best about Martha Stewart. Boy, I feel a lot safer now that she's behind bars. O.J. Simpson and Kobe Bryant are still walking around. Osama bin Laden, too. But they take the one woman in America willing to cook, clean, and work in the yard, and they haul her fanny off to jail. For KSCO and KOMY, this is K's Whirling.
Do you think it's becoming for my mother to talk about, you know, flatulence and farting? Do you think that's becoming?
Your question is, does she know something about hot air?
I mean, she was really cracking. It sort of reminds me of the time when, I'm not going to tell this story because it is a flatulent story. And I once did a program all about farts on a Saturday special.
Gee, thank you for sharing that.
I always thought,
accused me of talking about hot air. Go ahead.
For people who don't think that farts are funny, I think farts are hilarious. I think they're just funny. They just crack me up. Do they crack you up too?
I don't seem to enjoy them quite as much as you do. maybe a small problem you have there, MZ. But
the sound, anyhow.
Thank you for sharing.
Not the odeur. But anyhow, we used to do. Yeah, we did that on the Saturday special a number of years ago, and people thought that was a bizarre thing to do. But other people thanked us.
My mother's actually listening to this, I think, by computer somewhere. So
other people actually thanked us for doing a program all about that. It wasn't a complete Saturday special. I think it was only 1 hour, but you get the point.
Yes.
Asa in Live Oak.
I think your mother is a whole lot better than you are, Michael.
Well, that's not saying much.
Well, better than most people.
She gets so tickled by what she says. She's funnier than whatever she's saying sometimes.
No,
she gets so delighted.
This was one of her better ones. I think everything she had in this one was hilarious. I was chuckling all the way through it. So, until Michael started talking about his F-A-R-T-S. I don't think they're funny. I just think they're putrid. But nevertheless.
It's like the most aromatic tea my father used to tell me.
That's not what I wanted to talk about.
F-A-R-T.
Do you have a law question, ma'am?
I have a serious question to ask the attorney, Mr. Sutton.
Yes.
Do you know anything about the judges that are on our ballot? There were several people that even called Vernon the other day that had even tried to look them up. Nobody has any idea who they are, who appointed them.
Yeah.
No data for how old, how young.
The clock sort of cut me off there before the break. As I was saying, the judges, if there's an open seat and there's time, then it's thrown open to anybody who's qualified to be a judge. To be a judge, you have to be a lawyer in practice, good standing for more than 5 years.
What about the ones that are on the list already?
Okay, just a minute. And if there's not a time, then the governor appoints, and there's a three-member commission that has to approve them that gets them on the bench. All right. Of course, each county has different judges, so each county has different people on the ballot. Santa Cruz, Santa Clara, San Benito, Monterey all have different judges on their ballots. You can, if you have a computer available to you, you can, you know, obviously just Google the person's name. You can find
people that called Vernon had done the computer. I have and they have no data on the judges on our ballot.
Well, I don't know if you get it at the ballot, but if you just Google the person's name, you'll find, first of all, the county, the State Bar of California will have them down probably as an inactive status as a judge. They're no longer a lawyer, but they should be listed there as an inactive status if they're no longer practicing. Remember that if you do a Google or a LexisNexis you'll get references to them. For things that they've done and decided, if they have decided case, the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court have cases that are published in the legal books. So if you have access to that system, you can find out if they've ever published decisions, they've ever announced a decision, written it down, had it published.
Why do they want us to vote on people we know nothing about?
Well. As I explained earlier, we use a system where shall this person be retained? And unless they unless they stir up a whole bunch of dust, they usually are retained. They're usually kept because no news is bad news. In this case, if there's no news, it's good news for the judge. If there's not a lot of bad publicity, they're usually retained. If for some reason people think they've done badly and there's a stink, then people hear about them usually for bad reasons. Judges should be like the umpire at the baseball game. Nobody likes them, but they're there and they're required, and people kind of secretly respect them for what they have to do. If they do their job right, they just leave the park at the end of the game, and everybody talks about the baseball players and nobody talks about the umpires. The judges, if you haven't heard about them, the odds are they're probably doing pretty well. I mean, that sounds sort of backwards.
Not a person that has a current problem with them, which I don't, I have no idea. I have no connection with them.
What would you like to know about them, I guess? I mean, their religion or their race
I want to know how old they are and who appointed them.
And who appointed them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's all a public record. Sitting right here, I can't tell you the website to go to. If you Google the name, if you do the computer, if you do the search, Google the person's name, you'll get a lot of information about them. You'll find out where they went to school, where they went to college, law school, how old they are. That kind of information is readily available.
Well, I hope so. I hope I could do better than the folks that called in the other talk show that said they tried every way of looking them up and hadn't been able to find them. So I thought maybe they were hiding under a rock someplace.
You got me curious. Now, when I leave here, I'm going to go and play on my computer and see what I can find, and I'll talk about it on Tuesday night. Tune in on Tuesday night at 7, and we'll report back on what I can find about the judges, the judicial candidates.
That's what we need, is somebody to keep
you call, we haul, that's all. Vocans por tabemus erit omni.
Thanks. a lot.
Thank
there
you.
Goes Ace, there goes Asa and Live Oak. Here comes Nick in Santa Cruz. Nick, you're on.
Hi, I just had a question. Speaking of bad judges, has your guest ever dealt with Judge Irwin Joseph? And I want to know his opinion as to whether he's on crack or just senile.
Now, wait a minute. Clearly, Nick in Santa Cruz, you don't care for this judge.
I don't.
Why don't you tell us what he did to you?
Well, I can't because it's an active case involving my brother, and I don't want to, you know, I hope he's not listening.
I think you already have. Go ahead.
But, that's why I'm not mentioning my last name. But he's...
Nick your correct first name?
I'll withhold that as well. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But,
well, the short answer is I'll cut to it. I don't know. No, I haven't. And no, I have no opinion or knowledge, period.
Okay. Well, thanks. Yeah, and I don't know.
I would have hoped that this program and call to the radio show could have been more cathartic for you. But it doesn't sound like it is.
Well, let me see if I can make a plug. I'm not sure if Irwin Joseph is on the ballot, but for the listeners of KSCO, just take it from me. He's a bad judge. And ought to be removed.
So noted.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There goes all the callers. God. You know, what is it, Dean? You're pointing at something. Oh, you want to do something. Okay, here, go ahead. Yeah, because dead air is a terrible thing.
You better lawyer up sometimes. If you have, rather than say wild things about judges, I would suggest you might want to reconsider those kind of comments. They don't help much. But if
the guy feels like he's been screwed by a judge and feels like there's a way to tell the world about it, I mean, I guess it's okay, but I wish he'd be more specific.
Yeah.
In other words, if he doesn't feel like he can comment because it's still going on, then let him wait until it's not going on, and then he could get it off his chest.
For complaints about judges, other than the actual case itself, if you lose a case, you make a record. That's very important. You have the record made. The transcript is typed up by the reporter, and then that is used as part of the appeal. If there's judicial error, that's one of the grounds, obviously, for an appeal, for a reversal of your case based on a mistake or screw-up by the judge. Also, there is a way to make complaints to the state. Forget the exact phrase. The judicial... there's a council on judicial performance. There's a place to make complaints about judges.
This is good. Okay, you want to give us a call at the KSCO Saturday Special, also being broadcast on AM 1340 KOMY. The phone number to call is 479-1080, 479-1080. If you want to fax us, it's 475-2967. If you want to email us, it's mz@ksco.com. And let's go back to the phones. Don and Soquel wants to talk about none other than Jerry Brown. Don.
Yeah. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
So you got a question? What's going on?
Quig brought up the fact that Jerry Brown was not qualified or didn't meet the technical qualifications to run for Attorney General.
That is an allegation. I think it's still pending. I haven't heard the decision yet, but that's an accusation by the Republican challenger, yes.
Well, the fact is that his license was not active for the last 3 years, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, I'm like Will Rogers. All I know is what I read in the papers. Yeah, just for everybody else, Jerry Brown, former governor of California and former
KSCO talk show host.
All right, is running now for state attorney general in California.
Right.
And, of course, that's a lawyer job for which a person must be a lawyer. And the allegation by the Republican Party currently is that he is not qualified to be the attorney general because, and this is where the exact wording becomes very important, I don't know what it is, but they say that the statute says that to be the attorney general, you have to be, they say, a practicing lawyer within 5 years before taking office, and they allege that Jerry Brown was a practicing lawyer but let his license lapse. There's a status that the lawyers can have. It's called inactive. If for some reason you go do some other job, or you don't want to practice law, you don't want to pay the fees every year, keep your license up, you can let it, quote, become inactive. It's not, you're not disbarred, you're not licensed, it's not a negative, but you are not active. You have to pay money and become activated to it's like, almost like any other, like business license or professional license. The allegation is that he let it lapse, he renewed it again about a couple of years ago or something, less than 5 years, therefore he's not qualified. The question will turn on, I don't know what the judge will decide, but apparently they actually filed a case and they're litigating it. The question will, you know, what do the words say? What do the words mean? What the legislature mean?
This is the 5-minute service on Fox News Radio.
No.
Well, I don't know about that, but you have to, the question is, you have to be a lawyer for more than 5 years. Well, he's obviously been a lawyer for, well, you know, 40 years or whatever it is now. But the question is whether or not his license status immediately preceding taking office would disqualify him, his inactive status.
Is he going to take the new name of Attorney General Moonbeam?
I don't, you'll have to ask him that. You know, that was,
if it doesn't work out, we might get him to come back here.
That was a title that was hung on him, as you remember. I think it was the newspaper publisher in New Hampshire when he was up there running for the presidential nomination, and he said that he was Governor Moonbeam, and that stuck, and that is stuck to him like Velcro for the last, I don't know, 20 years.
Hey, SoCal Don, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, here's Brian in Santa Cruz. You're up on the KSCO Saturday Special, Brian. Hey there.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Sutton on real estate.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to know, is like when you hold real estate as a husband and wife,
yeah,
to hold it in a community property, or if you have a trust, if it's held in the family, just family trust, which can it be, is the family trust adequate?
Yes. Adequate for what? Here's how it works. California is a community property state.
Uh-huh.
Any
yeah.
property acquired during marriage, except by gift or inheritance, is uh-huh. presumed to be community property. So if you acquire property during marriage, whether it's in his name or her name or both names, it's presumed to be community property between them. The best way, usually, people say for several reasons, estate planning and probate and all that, is to have, we have a new and improved way to hold title. It's called husband and wife. You know, John Smith and Mary Smith, husband and wife, as community property with right of survivorship. That's probably the best way of the choices available. You could have joint tenancy, tenants in common, community property. But a husband and wife is community property with right of survivorship. That's the best way to hold title. If one passes, God forbid, then the title can be transferred without a probate, and you do get stepped up basis under the current law. Now, the best way to do your estate planning is a living trust. And what you do is you transfer on your Schedule A on the standard type trust. You transfer the property to the trustees under the living trust. So upon a death, the property goes where you want it to go under your trust regulations. So, by the way, trusts don't hold title. This is kind of a common mistake. People try to do it themselves to get the no-lo books or where they get it, I don't know where. But never transfer, never deed title to a trust, like the Sutton Living Trust of 2006. It has to be to the trustee, to Dean Sutton, trustee of the Sutton Living Trust of 2006.
If it's in the family name, then it doesn't. That's also incorrect?
I don't know about, what do you mean by family name?
Well, let's say it was in the Sutton Trust. A family Sutton Trust.
Well, if it's been deeded to the family trust, it is screwed up, I guarantee you.
It's screwed up?
This is the Real Estate Lawyers Unemployment Relief Act. People keep doing this, and it mucks up titles because a trust is not an entity. It can't hold title.
I see. So it's better to put it in the community property situation.
Well, if you're going to put it in the trust, you deed it to the trustee under the trust.
I see.
Yeah, and that eliminates probate and a lot of stress and grief when people are bereaved, when you're gone. The last time they want to deal with legal stuff is when somebody, there's been a death. That's why you should do some estate planning. It's cheap and relatively easy. While you're alive and alert, you can deal with a lawyer and make sense. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. If you want something looked at, you can call Sutton Law Firm, 831-476-7499. We can look at it privately and confidentially in a real office situation.
Okay.
That won't be broadcast on KSCO.
Okay.
We
thank you very much.
Okay. Here comes Walter at Aptos about medical malpractice. You're on, Walter.
Yes, I have a question involving a dentist. 2 years ago, this in November, I went to this dentist to have a tooth removed in my lower front teeth. Before I left the office, he wrote up an estimate to remove all my lower front teeth. That's 2 years ago. Now, I'm sure it's not medical malpractice, but if he had removed my teeth, today I can use my front teeth to bite into a crisp apple, use it for anything, eating ribs, corn off the cob, for me, everything. Absolutely perfect today. Now, I'll be 90 years old next February. My question is, what kind of a case can I bring with that attorney? Because if I'd have had my teeth pulled, I'd be living with a lower plate.
Well, it sounds like, luckily, you were not damaged by that dentist. You did not have your teeth taken out unnecessarily, correct?
I know I wasn't damaged.
You escaped that problem by the skin of your teeth. Sorry about that. Listen, a lot of things happen in life that are close, but no cigar. They're near misses. And are you there?
I don't think you liked what you said.
He didn't like what I said. Luckily, a lot of people have a lot of near misses. The short version of it is that the law does not provide a remedy for what could have happened, for what might have happened, what should have happened. A lot of times, there's no legal remedy. There's no money damages because there's no damage.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to ridicule our callers, but I mean, isn't that obvious? There's no damage. Why even call? And so it's like someone is just looking.
We invited them to call. Around, it's look, free, and you get a chance to
it's
get
like
an opinion.
You're looking around for reasons to sue people. I mean, there's so many people in this society, Dean, that don't work for a living.
But
they look for reasons to sue for a living.
Get that from him at all. I didn't catch his name. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of, if he's concerned that there's a bad dentist out there, a lot of people say, you know, it's not just me. It's for the, you know, I'd like to make sure that he doesn't do this to other people.
Okay, good point. Okay, yeah.
That is real, and that is legit, and that's totally honorable.
Okay, all right. So next caller will be Kenny in Santa Cruz. By the way, we have open lines at 479-1080, so give us a call. Kenny, you're on.
You know, hi. I had a question about habitable accessory units in the city and the county.
Okay. I need to know more. Go ahead.
So when you got to record a document saying you're going to live there or you got to rent it to low-income families, say if you don't follow that law and you rent it out to somebody, can the government make you tear the building down, or is there a hearing?
Wow. Well, you've asked several different questions in there at once. Low-income housing, habitability, and all. Let's back up just a minute.
Okay.
The law requires that for housing to be habitable, first of all, it requires housing be habitable. That is, and different cities and counties have specific definitions. There's a state definition in landlord-tenant law, but it has to have certain things. You know, the hot and cold water, the sewer has to work, the heat, there has to be heat, glass in the windows, all that, you know, basic habitable, basic requirements of living.
Right.
If you have something that doesn't match that, it's not good enough, it's not up to code or up to snuff, the next question is whether or not it's legally existing. In the Santa Cruz Mountains in Monterey, there's a lot of old places that were built before the zoning laws. They were there before the law. We say they're, quote, grandfathered in. And unless they present a present public health and safety danger, then they are there first. So if your old house somewhere on the Santa Cruz Mountains was built, you know, in 1890, and it's not currently a real danger to people somehow. For example, a lot of the old places had septic tanks, and a lot of the septic tanks would leach, and you know, the bad stuff would run down on the other people's property or into the streams. They can stop that and now. But if your house is otherwise a pre-existing, legally existing, non-conforming use, then it can stay the way it is. If you go, however, to the government and ask for permission to do something, if you need a permit and you have to go get a permit, now they can say as a condition of the permit, you have to bring the house up to code. You have to remodel the house or demolish it and start again. You asked several different other questions. If you have a contract or a deal with a city or a county to provide for low-income housing units, for example, and you promise that as part of the deal, you get some other allowance. You get a permit of some kind, or you get an allowance somewhere else, or a tax deduction or a tax reduction. If you make a contract and break your word, break your promise, well, of course, yes. the county would have or the city would have rights to proceed against you for breach of contract, including if they had to, if your house was non-habitable, it was not fit for human habitation, actually to have it torn down eventually.
Okay, so if you build it to code and then you don't live there, you say you're supposed to live there and you don't live there, do they have a hearing or can you?
All of the cities and counties they have lots of due process of law. You have lots of notice and opportunity to be heard. You get lots of letters. Make sure your addresses are correct. By the way, if people move, it sounds real funny, but if you move, you should change your address. Make sure that the county record knows, the county assessor's office knows, you know, how to find you for the city or the county to send you a letter. But yeah, they send you lots of notices, and there's administrative hearings with the staff first, usually, and then the planning commission or the zoning board, and then the city council, and then on up. And there's lots of ways where you get due process of law to figure out. They'll tell you what they're going to do, what you're supposed to do, what they think you're doing wrong, and then you get a chance to show them that you're not doing wrong or you're doing right and what to do about it. Yeah.
So then you can say, okay, if I correct the situation there, then I can keep it.
Yeah, it depends. Usually, yeah. I mean, if you've secretly snuck in there and built a second story on a house that's absolutely not allowed under the zoning rules or laws, or is perched on the side of a cliff, it's about ready, it's going to fall on somebody in the next, you know, good winter rains, you're going to have problems. But if it's your keywords where they're built to code. By the way, a quick thing, people need to understand under the building codes, when you go down to the city or the county, you put in your sketch, you put in your summary, your picture, what you want, you pay your money, which is far too high, but you pay your money to get your permit. You get a permit, you're only half done. When you come back and build the building, it has to be, quote, per the code and per the building code requirements and per your permit. But you still need the city or the county guy to come out and sign off on it. You need that final sign off. Then it's permitted. Then it's a proper and appropriate construction. If you go to sell it, one of the things you have to get disclosures of, have you ever done any improvements with or without permits? And permits means the final sign-off process as well.
Right. I got
it. That helped, Kitty.
Hey, yeah, you did. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. That would be none other than Santa Cruz Krishna. Hey there, Krishna. Missed you at the white powder potty, but saw your better half. Are you there? Hey,
hello?
Krishna. No, it says Krishna in Santa Cruz. You're not Krishna in Santa Cruz.
Hello?
Who are you? Who are we talking to? Who are you?
This is Rich in Salinas, if it's me.
Hi, Rich.
How are you doing?
What's your question?
I'm curious about laws that are on the books that aren't being enforced, in particular illegal immigration here, all these illegal aliens that are here. And I know many places of people that are illegal that are working in Burger King, Winchell's Donuts,
yeah,
other places. And why aren't they being enforced? And is there a way that we can sue the county, the sheriff's department, the police, or the city to enforce the laws, get these people to enforce the laws that are on the books?
We have the most screwed up, schizophrenic, outlandish, irrational laws concerning immigration of anything, of any place, and that's going some. It's worse than the Internal Revenue Code. And it's that way for a reason, frankly. The short version is money. On one hand, some people think they get to use cheap labor without the costs of paying for labor that union, for example, work jobs or similar type jobs have worked for the years. You can hang political labels on people, and you can start calling people names. But the other deal is that the Democrats look forward, for example, they say to immigrants for future voters because they think people from Mexico, for example, or other places where most of them come in California will be future voters and future citizens and will lean one way or the other. The allegation is a lot of the Republican large agribusiness people, look forward to the cheap labor. And when you have the economic conditions in other places around the world, you're just going to have a magnet. People are going to come here. For money. They're going to come here to try to support their families, to send money home. The remittances that are coming out of the United States and going to Latin American countries and Asian countries are just astronomical amounts. And
I know the reasons why, but what frustrates me...
Okay, the laws.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the laws. The short version of it is that the Republicans like the cheap labor, and they don't want us... Already we're hearing reports of people in the Salinas Valley and the Central Valley. They're having trouble. They're worried about, bringing in the harvest. Where's all the cheap immigrant labor? Why are they not enforced? Because too many people are making too much money on it the way it is. There's just absolutely no other way around it, and it's a scandal. And you know, you can try to blame whoever you want to, but whoever's been in power for the last 20 years, the last time it got screwed up was under Ronald Reagan. We did the 1986 the Immigration Reform Act, named after I lost it there for a second, the permanent senator from Wyoming. And at that time, the deal was we're going to give amnesty to the people who are here and let no more new people in other than and then regulated trickle, the regulated flow.
Yeah.
We were talking about a wall then. We were talking about Simpson-Mazzoli. Simpson, actually both guys, very honorable people. They tried very hard. They put in the law. Ronald Reagan signed it, gave huge amnesty to, 3 or 4 million people at the time, and there were not supposed to be any more new illegal immigrants coming in. However, since then, both parties, Democrat and Republican, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, every one of them have allowed the immigration flow, have not stopped it. There's a lot of reasons why in Congress, why the abuse of the workers is one of the great scandals of it. These poor guys come here, they work very hard for very little, and I mean it's more than what they have at home. They send some home, they stay here. And there is no way around it other than it's just pure graft and just scandal.
Well, I understand all that, but the problem still is there's a law on the books, and if the government...
All right, that's the other problem.
...are going to ignore laws, and as citizens, we can't do that. Whether it's a traffic violation or anything else, we can't ignore it.
The Constitution...
The government can ignore the laws and are put on the books to protect it.
The Constitution has been interpreted to say that the federal government and only the federal government can deal with illegal immigration. That's not written down. That's just sort of a presupposed supposition. That's sort of a... we just assume it is that way, that only the feds can do this. Now, the Constitution does say that the federal government, Congress, deals with other countries. But I don't know that there's any way one could actually read that to say that we cannot deal with things here in Santa Cruz County or in California or in Monterey County. There have been several proposals. Several towns, for example, have now passed city ordinances saying, you know, illegal immigrants can't congregate looking for jobs or they can't get this or get that. The famous example was Prop 187 in California several years ago under Pete Wilson, when the people of the state of California said there'll be no more welfare recipients, no benefits for illegal immigrants, trying to do it that way. And, of course, that was struck down by the courts because of the way it was worded. But the basic premise is still there.
Well, how about this? If I was to sue the city of Salinas or the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
And they're obviously the law. They got the badges.
Right.
And said, I want you to enforce this law.
Right.
And then they don't do it. Do
right.
I win?
No.
In other words, can I win with a lawsuit against them?
No. But you could get a lot of publicity, of great, good, warm and gooey feeling. But, you know, spend a few bucks. But no, probably not win. No. It has to be done at the congressional level. It has to be done. You know, if you look in the newspaper this week, everybody's patting each other on the back, getting themselves tremendous bruises because they're going to build a fence for part of the distance.
I believe that, too.
Well, I mean, that's what you're getting instead of rational policy.
Speaking, we want to thank you for your call.
All right.
You're not Krishna in Santa Cruz. Who are you?
Located to? By the way,
say it again.
Where's your office located?
My office is in San Jose. I do get to Santa Cruz and Monterey occasionally, but my office is in San Jose.
San Jose, okay.
831-476-7499.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, there goes not Krishna in Santa Cruz, but that's what it says.
Okay, it's not Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay.
SoCal Bob is up now. So is David in Slov. And so is Dan in Felton, and so is June in Santa Cruz. So all of those people, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break for a minute and a half, and then we'll be right back. Got a great guest coming up on next hour here. Listen to this.
Don't miss the Perspective Show Saturday at noon, hosted this weekend by G. Richard Arnold. His guests will be State Senator Tom McClintock, the legislator who led the repeal of the scheduled auto registration fees, a legislator who was first elected at the age of 26. His principles sometimes grate against the party bosses. Tom McClintock is a guest of libertarian and constitutional groups and was the favorite of KSCO's independent talk host, Richard Quigley. And at 12:30 on Perspectives, G. Richard Arnold
Arnold will interview State Senator Ray Haynes. Senator Ray Haynes just last week clashed with Monterey Bay attorneys regarding eminent domain and Proposition 90. You'll learn both the usual suspects and some you might not have suspected as being among those who want to be able to seize your property and turn it over to someone else. These politicos simply don't duck questions. Sink your teeth into the issues and listen to Perspectives Saturday at noon, right after the Saturday special.
Buongiorno, property owners. When you need to clean up your property, call on the professionals at Coyote Industrial Cleaning. I'm Bob Farmer, but my friends call me Mr. Clean because I'm the one that cleans up downtown Santa Cruz. When you need to clean up your sidewalks, patios, driveways, pool areas, decks, buildings, and carpets, give us a ring at Coyote Industrial Cleaning, 429-5521. That's 429-5521. Or at Bob Farmer in the Santa Cruz White Pages.
Okay, we're back in the closing minutes of the Saturday special. So we got about 16 minutes left. So if you want to call us, dial up 479-1080. Here's a fax. In the Monterey County town of Aromas, if my neighbor's fence is 12 inches on my property, but I pay the property taxes, will I ever lose the 12 inches to adverse possession? Yes or no?
Question. Short version is no. As long as you pay the property taxes, you won't lose the title. You might, however, get a prescriptive easement against you. He may have the right to use your land more than 5 years without permission, whether you pay the taxes or not.
Okay. The fence has been on my property for more than 10 years. Will I ever lose any rights to the 12 inches if I always pay the property taxes? Same.
The short answer is yes, you can. You could lose an easement.
Do I need anything? Do I need to avoid losing the property?
Yes. Within the time of the 5 years, you need to do something. You need to file a suit, take back the property, or give consent. The antidote to all of this is consent. If you've given consent, whether it's 5 years or 10, they never get an easement against you. It doesn't ripen against you if you give consent.
Okay. SoCal Bob, you're up on the KSCO special.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
What's your question, sir? How can I help?
Yes, one thing I've always wondered about is, not really wondered because I've looked into it a little bit, why state courts, why state judges are up for election and federal judges are appointed.
Well, because Article 3 of the United States Constitution says judges serve for life
or good
on good behavior with no high crimes or misdemeanors. It's to protect the people from judges being influenced, bossed around, intimidated by the judge.
I know all that. Federalist number 78, it's Article 3 of the Constitution.
Then what's your question?
Question is, what gets me is the judges have no power of the sword or the purse. They're just in for good behavior.
That's why they're protected.
And they're protected. And state judges and federal judges are elected. Maybe there's a good point there.
A lot of people said that we need protection from federal judges that act as autocrats or put their own personalities in, their own politics in, and don't really follow the people.
Well, the federal judges are in for life. Because
right.
The reason for that was because they won't be subject to the exigencies of politics.
Exactly right, but we changed that in California, so we do have this escape valve, this possible way to fire judges if they screw up too badly and get too famous, like the Rose Byrd case.
I'm well aware of the Rose Byrd case.
Okay.
I'm wondering, the judges really have no power at all. They can't get out there in their black robes and enforce anything, so it's up to the executive department. And in the famous case involving the Cherokee Indian case, Cherokee Nation versus Georgia. I think there was Andrew Jackson said, let the judges in their black robes try to enforce that, and he removed them to Oklahoma.
Yeah. That was the Trail of Tears.
Trail of Death, the Trail of Tears. The other thing I wanted to mention is one of the most famous cases involving the Justice
John Marshall.
McCulloch versus Maryland.
Yeah.
Which interpret the elastic clause, but maybe more important is the fact that when you buy a government security now, you don't pay state taxes on it as a result of that case. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I'm familiar with the concept, sure.
The idea is when you buy a treasury note or a treasury bill, you don't pay any state taxes on it because
of federalism. That's right. The federal government is not subject to taxation by the state. Thank you.
The elastic clause involved in that one, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So come Bob. Don't let your meatloaf, okay?
Not your meatloaf either.
Okay, here comes David in San Lorenzo Valley.
I'm not sure what that means. I'm afraid to ask. Don't tell me. Go ahead.
You're on.
Hello. I've got a real estate question.
Yes, sir.
I bought a house in December of 04 in the San Lorenzo Valley, and I got a septic tank report from the owner. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the county stamp. So I had an occasion to call down to the county, and I found out that my septic tank report wasn't recorded last summer, like last June, like a year and a half after buying the house.
When you say recorded, you mean it was a forgery? It wasn't accurate?
Well, that's my question. And when I called down there, they looked on the computer, they found out it wasn't recorded. And the guy advised me to get a copy from the company that supposedly did the septic tank inspection.
Right.
And when I got the copy from them, it was different than the one I got from the owner. And neither of them had the stamp on it from the county. And I was wondering, do I still have time to take any action on that?
Well, the short answer is yes. If you're suing for money damages for fraud, let's pretend that the owner told you the septic tank was fine, it was empty, it had been pumped out, for example, and you relied upon that, and you closed escrow. Then you found out later that was a lie, that it was broken or that it was full and needed to be pumped out. You had to call the company and get $600, pumping out or something. For example, if you had damages relying on the fraud, you can sue within 3 years from 3 years. Short answer is 3 years from discovery of the fraud. So, yeah, if it's under $7,500, you could sue in small claims court for your actual damages.
Now, do you think that I would possibly, like, the guy that I bought the house from probably doesn't have any money?
He got all your money. What'd he do with it?
Yeah, I mean, well, he owed a lot of people.
Ah, well.
That's when he easily sold. But
you also should consider the role of the real estate agents, the real estate brokers involved. If they, your broker and the other broker both have a duty to tell the buyer about any material defect or condition of the property that materially affects value or desirability of the property. If that was known or should have been known by them, you could include them and consider whether or not they might be liable.
That was exactly my question. Is I was wondering, should my real estate agent or the other agent, the seller's agent, had noticed that the stamp wasn't there on the paper and stuff, too? So maybe...
Well,
I know they have...
the absence of the stamp by itself probably wouldn't do it. But if they knew it was a forgery, if they knew it was a false report, they would be liable for fraud. The question is whether or not if somehow they're supposed to guarantee all information, would they be negligent? And they probably would not be negligent. If it's something that a reasonable person would rely upon, it appears to be legit on its face, they can too as well.
Okay.
You would consider their role. What does it cost you in damages, though?
Well, I haven't... I think my septic tank's not very good.
Well, what you need to do, obviously, is have somebody you hire now to go check the septic tank and see what the condition is.
Right.
Again, it's one of these near misses things. If the guy lied to you, but there's no harm, no foul, no error, you could sue for just the fun of it in small claims court for some, $100 or something for inconvenience, but or nominal damages. But that, so what? That won't get you anywhere. If it actually costs you damages, you need to figure that out and be able to prove it.
Right.
There's a difference between truth and proof, a big difference between truth and proof. If it costs you money, prove it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay. Solve Dave. That's Dave in San Lorenzo Valley. Dan in Felton is up next. Dan, you're on the air on KSCO AM 1080.
Hi. I love your new show. You're here every week.
Oh, good. You've been listening to Dean on Law of the Land.
Yes, every show.
Great.
Wonderful. I have a question. I'm groping here, and then if there's time, a quick joke. I work for a company from 1967 to 1980, and I found out I have an annuity pension from them. However, the company no longer exists. The parent, they're completely gone. They never incorporated in California. This was all in California. The parent company, I beg your pardon. The Department of Corporations doesn't have any record that the company's defunct. The parent company never filed corporation papers in California. I think they're out of New Jersey. They themselves are subsidiary of Allied Signal, and I can't get my money.
Do you have evidence that the money is still there being held somewhere by a plan administrator? Do you know, is it like a 401k or a federally mandated or regulated or protected plan?
It's 1980. I quit. I don't have. I'm not subject to the money set asides that far back.
Well, I'm afraid we can't do this. I'm sorry, I can't do this over the radio. But we have to, you know, remember 1980 is 26 years ago now. You'd have to figure out what evidence do you have that somebody has your money. If the money is still there to get, hopefully it's in a federally regulated IRA type. Federally controlled plan, and there should be a plan. This is why the federal government set this up, is to protect people from getting screwed from putting money in their plans and then having it all taken and gone away. That's why there's separate required federal plan administrators that are supposed to hang on to this money.
Could your office help me with that? I would pay you.
Call for an appointment and come on in, and we'll look at what you have. I can't, you know, promise. I don't have my magic wand. Is not right in front of me here. The 831-476-7499. Yeah. Call, make an appointment. We'll look at it together. No charge, first half hour. See if it's something I might be able to help you with.
Okay. Do we have time for the joke?
Shoot. Very fast.
Well, I got downsized, and I thought I can't afford to live here, but I've owned my house 20 years. I'm single. I'd have huge capital gain. So I thought if I could get a short-term wife, I'd get the $500,000 exclusion. So I went to the...
Yeah, I thought about that, actually.
I went to the beer bar.
Yeah, it takes more than a weekend, MZ. Go ahead.
Oh. Anyway, I saw her. She was either wild or drunk. I thought, this is a woman I can work with. So she was... ready to get married, but she said, go ahead and get the license and everything, but I have a special place. I said, okay. So the weekend came, and she says, I'll drive. We went over the hill to the nudist colony. She says, you see that man there in the top hat? He's justice of the peace. He can marry us right now. I said, okay. So they lined up all the men on one side and all the women on the other side. When he asked her, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? She thought a minute. She says, well, actually, I believe I'd rather have that one on the end.
And Vaudeville is not dead, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you
very much for the call.
Thanks, Felton. Dan, here's Marco in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO with Dean Sutton and MZ.
Good morning, man. Enjoying the show, as always.
Good.
Going back to adverse possession.
Yes.
I know enough to be dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
So a little knowledge. So anyway, for adverse possession, I'm under the impression there's roughly seven items for which one can have adverse possession. You can't just obtain it, putting taxes paid aside. Now, those are things like sunlight, firewood, access, water, parking. What I'm curious about is for prescriptive easement, do those same limitations apply as to it has to be for something specific like those seven? And my follow-up is that if someone's got permission from you, of course, there is no adverse possession or prescriptive easement. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The elements...
Now, what about those seven items that you're limited to for adverse possession? Would they also limit your prescriptive easement rights?
Before I say yes or no, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. What do you mean the seven elements?
You cannot obtain adverse possession for nothing. It can only be granted, to my knowledge, based on your claim that you were using the property for something of significance, such as sunlight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're talking about is easements. You have two things confused. Allow me. Forgive me. Adverse possession is a way to get pink slip title.
No, I understand.
And as opposed to prescription, an easement by prescription. Yeah, an easement requires a use. Yes. You can get a prescriptive easement for sunlight. You can get a prescriptive easement for view. You can get it for access to the beach. There's a famous case in Santa Cruz County called Guion versus Santa Cruz, where the public in general got the right to walk across the guy's property to get to the beach. Yeah.
Right. But there are limitations then. You can't just get prescriptive easement because you feel like, you know, having a fence or whatever.
If you're the one taking it, yeah, it's basically the reward for being a jerk. You just take it. Yeah. You just take it and use it. You fence it off and use it and say, I'm exercising dominion and control, and you can continue doing that if you do it for more than 5 years. But it has to be hostile, continuous, open,
right,
notorious, and but you know, hostile, by the way, does not mean fisticuffs. You don't have to fight.
Well, no, I understand. You have to put a fence or someone sees.
Right.
Marco, I wish...
The clock on the wall is biting.
You might want to call Dean, okay? He'll give out the number and just stand. We've got one other phone call here. June in Santa Cruz. You're on, June.
Thank you. Bye.
June, you're on.
Oh, hi, MZ.
Hi.
Before I forget, I want to say thank you for the white powder. It was great.
Okay.
I sure enjoyed it.
Great.
And it's yesterday.
We have less than a minute, June, if you want to ask Dean a question here.
No, I don't have a question. I want to say, also, I want to say I'm glad you have a talk. Dean's show on. It's great.
Oh, good. You've heard it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listen to it every week. So, and then the other thing is, I'm very thankful that I had a chance to meet your mother. She is a great lady. She loves America and her caring for the troops and everyone, and it's just wonderful.
Well, a lot of people agree with you, and so do I. Thank you for the kind words.
She is entitled for the name, a princess of the King of Kings.
Aww.
I think, you know, her coming up book is about her commentary,
uh-huh.
The name, The Wisdom of a Princess of the King of Kings.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Really appreciate it. You take care now, June, okay?
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, Dean, that's it for the Saturday special. See you on the radio Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for an hour. And that's about it. See you next week. Yeah.
'Bee, that's all.
Okay. KSCO Santa Cruz, KLY Watsonville.
Los Angeles. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal joins us live now from the fire line in Banning. Jessica?
Jane, I'm here at the base of Highway 243 where the Highway Patrol is letting people up to check on their homes.
Okay, and there's down power lines up there. The Edison has the power cut so you can drive over them. Just drive real slow.
Okay.
Watch for boulders, down streets, firemen. Just drive real slow.
Okay, so thank you very much. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Nina Milan knows that up to 10 homes have burned in the area.
Well, mixed feelings of what we're going to find when we get up there.
Fire crews are making progress with calmer winds. Helping the Esperanza fire is at 40,000 acres. It's 40% contained now. As for the arson investigation, reward money's up to $500,000. But the sheriff's department says it still needs witnesses to come forward. Jane?
Jessica, any news on the fifth critically burned firefighter?
Yes, Pablo Cerda remains in critical condition. He got out of surgery last night. 70% of his burned skin was removed by surgeons. Jane?
Thanks, Jessica. President Bush hitting the campaign trail today on behalf of Republican candidates, talking up veteran Mike Sodrel at a rally for the congressional hopeful today in Indiana.
As a member of the Indiana National Guard, he has served our country in uniform, and as a congressman, he is a strong supporter of the United States military.
In his weekly radio address, the president defended his tax cuts, warning voters Democrats would raise taxes if they regained control of Congress. A former Republican delivering the Democrats' radio response, President Reagan's former Secretary of the Navy, Vietnam vet Jim Webb, he's running for the Senate in Virginia.
If we want a new direction in Iraq, we need a new team in Congress. A Democratic Congress will demand from day one that the president find a real way forward in Iraq.
And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
When it rains, all my friends go away. God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come, take your house.
Santa won't know where to find me.
Mommy scared the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pope Benedict taking a hard line on sex abuse by members of the clergy.
Pope Benedict XVI telling Catholic bishops from Ireland that they have to take whatever steps necessary to prevent sexual abuse of minors. The pontiff noting there have been many heartrending cases in recent years in Ireland, all the more tragic when the abusers were clerics. Benedict says sex abuse is a terrible crime and justice must be done.
Fox's Greg Burke in Rome. An Ohio hospital under fire for not immediately telling patients someone hacked into Akron Children's Hospital's computer Labor Day weekend. More than a quarter of a million people affected. Sensitive information, including social security numbers and bank account records, taken. But the FBI didn't learn about this until last week, and patients and their families found out about it this week. The hospital security consultants initially didn't think it was a big deal. Get ready for some extra Z's tonight.
Most of the country falls back this Sunday morning as daylight saving time ends, including all of Indiana, under a law passed last year. But this is the last year that a lot of us will turn our clocks back an hour at 2 a.m. on the last Sunday in October. Starting next year, daylight saving will last from the second Sunday in March until the first Sunday in November. Those states and territories that still don't observe daylight saving time are Arizona, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, American Samoa, Guam, and the Northern Marianas. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
Former Houston Astros pitcher Joe Niekro has died. The two-time 20-game winner suffered a brain aneurysm Thursday, known for his knuckleball. Niekro never became as well-known as his Hall of Fame brother Phil, but he remains Houston's career leader with 221 wins. Joe Niekro was 61. And St. Louis Cardinals manager Tony La Russa said his players just refused to lose. The Cards won the World Series in five games last night, beating the Tigers 4-2. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, October 28th, 2006. It looks like today there will be lots of sun with highs around 80 degrees and winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight will be generally clear with lows around 45 degrees, winds light and variable. Tomorrow you can expect mainly sunny skies with highs around 70 degrees. Tomorrow night will be mostly clear with lows around 45 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming northwest in the afternoon, with wind waves up to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 13 seconds, and south 2 feet at 14 seconds. The temperature here at the station is 73 degrees, and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.